What really lasts? Where's the Garden of Eden today? I don't think any human knows where it is. Where's the Babylonian Empire? Where are any of the other empires, for that matter of a fact? It's gone the way of the dodo, something else that has not lasted. Where's the Colossus at Rhodes, one of the wonders of the ancient world? Where are the other wonders of the ancient world? There are some that we can still see, but where are the others that we don't see? They only exist as words on pages and in the mouths of a few teachers and lecturers. Some things have lasted for a long time, but where are they now? It seems like things are lasting for a shorter and shorter period of time. The quality has seemingly gone down. There's a shorter life for goods. There's not much that lasts for very long. One of the reasons that people don't find happiness and contentment is because they're looking for it in things which do not last. In the example of Solomon, did he find happiness and meaning in his earthly pursuits? In all of his wisdom and in his experience, and all that he accomplished and gathered to himself in terms of wealth and power, all the physical was vanity. And if this was all that there was to life, then his conclusion was that life was futile and it was as a vapor, not worth it. Man is not better off for these things. There was no true, lasting happiness. In the book of Ecclesiastes, from the beginning to nearly the end, Solomon expresses this thought. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. For nearly the whole book, this is the thought that Solomon expresses. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. In the end, nothing physical will last. Not even the heaven and the earth will last. Revelation 21 and verse 1. Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also, there was no more sea. Isaiah talks of how the heavens will vanish away like smoke. We see then that not even the heaven and earth will last. If you would, please turn to 2 Peter 3 and verse 7. 2 Peter 3 and verse 7. Even though the heaven and the earth will pass away, there's something that will remain. What is it that can survive the impending destruction? In 2 Peter 3 and verse 7, but the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. Skipping down to verse 10, we'll read down through verse 13. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, verse 11, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? He's saying here, if these things are to happen, what should we be doing now? Verse 12, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, the elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. That is what will survive and what will be there after the destruction. With all that is around us that we can't take with us, we can take godliness and righteousness. In other words, holy, righteous character. Not just character, not bad character, but holy, righteous character. The word character comes from the Greek word character, which is spelled C-H-A-R-A-K-T-E-R. And it means to exactly represent another image. In Hebrews 1 and verse 3, referring to Christ, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. Christ is said to have the express image, the exact image or character of God. The meaning for the Greek word character is engraved, stamped, carved, as in carved into us. And we want it to be. We need it to be a precise reproduction in every respect, exactly as it is in God the Father and His Son, exactly the way they are. What is the express image of God? God is spirit. And his spirit and his character are defined in and throughout the Bible. Places such as Galatians 5, where it talks about the fruit of the spirit. All of those characteristics define who and what God is. 1 Corinthians 13, where it talks about love. We call it the love chapter. It defines love. We know that God is love. And this is what we are supposed to be attaining. God's word, all-encompassing, is really about his character. And this is what we are to live by every day, by every jot and tittle of it. And we are to then become like God. The things that do last are the things that we should be concentrating on. Character is the only thing that lasts. God is in the process of creating his perfect character in us by and through the power of his Holy Spirit. He cannot do this instantly. He can't do it with the snap of his fingers. It must be developed in us by choices that we make over time. As we grow and overcome and go through tests and trials, they will refine us. It is this holy, righteous character, which is a gift endowed from above, that is God's purpose for us here below. We will be raised incorruptible, like 1 Corinthians 15 talks about. It won't be flesh and blood that returns to the dust from where it came, but it will be spirit, as God is, and it will be eternal. If we continue in this process of growing in grace and knowledge, we will be changed into spirit. Please turn with me to Romans 8. Romans 8, verses 18 through 23. Romans 8, verses 18 through 23. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. In verse 20, for the creation was subjected to futility. It does not, and it will not last. Not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope, because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption. It will not always be this way. It will not always be a bondage of corruption, but into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. Verse 23. Not only that, but we also, who have the first fruits of the Holy Spirit, of the Spirit, that's those of us now who have been imbued with the Holy Spirit, are developing the holy, righteous character that is required. So, not only that, but we also, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the sonship, the redemption of our body, that is, from corruptible to incorruptible and everlasting. In the new universe, death will be a thing of the past, and so will decay and degradation. we will be changed into spirit, and spirit is eternal. The spirit will not deteriorate. It will last. In conclusion, brethren, let me read from our booklet on the spirit world. It says, when the heavenly Jerusalem comes down to this earth as a spiritual city, after God has created new heavens and a new earth, it will remain a spiritual city. It will not be changed into matter, into something physical. Why should it become physical? By that time, all of mankind who have chosen to live God's way of life will have become spirit beings. Physical human beings will no longer exist. God will not become a physical being. Angels will not become physical beings. Every physical thing will have been destroyed in the all-encompassing fire that burns up the earth and dissolves the physical universe, as we read in 2 Peter 3:11. What an awesome potential man has. We, as insignificant, tiny, mortal, physical, temporary human beings, have the potential to become immortal members of God's family. Actually, God beings sharing in His spiritual world. We need to free ourselves from the bondage of temporary shortcomings and sufferings, step out of the restraint of physical limitations, and climb up, as it were, in our minds, to the real spiritual existence of God's world, which we can already visualize with our spiritual eyes. Let us keep our focus on those things which are above, knowing that God will share them with us very soon.